If you look at Donald Trump's leadership style, it is anything but conventional. It is often compared to a madman. You are never sure what he is going to do. His unpredictability makes everyone stay on edge, thinking what he will do next. Now, you may think he's fooling around. That's what he wants you to think. But then it's a calculated strategy. Trump thrives on keeping his opponents guessing, making him one of the most unpredictable leaders in modern history. Trump operates on a completely different level. He's a billionaire businessman. And you don't build such a massive empire out of thin air. It takes brains and strategy. Plus, he's the president of the United States, a role that demands sharp decision-making. Deep down, he's incredibly smart. But the image he publicly projects is carefully crafted. One that is unconventional, unpredictable leader. That is why now we are hearing that Hamas has become soft. They want peace. Zelensky all of a sudden is also calling for peace. Let's try to understand each scenario one by one. What is happening? How come this sudden change of heart? So first we'll talk about Hamas. Hamas, which used to boast about fighting endless wars and resisting for 100 years, is now waving the flag of peace. The group, known for its tough stance against Israel, is now asking for a truce, with even top leaders like Bassem Naim openly calling for it. Who is this guy? He's one of the leaders of Hamas currently sitting in Qatar and giving interview. So he's saying Hamas is willing to concede on governing the Gaza Strip after the war, but will not lay down arms against Israel. It means that Hamas is ready to step down from controlling the Gaza Strip. They are saying they are open to letting someone else take charge of running Gaza instead of them. But then they are also saying they will not lay down arms against Israel. What this means is that on one hand, Hamas leader is saying they will give up control of the Gaza Strip. But on the other hand, they are also saying they will still hold on to their weapons and they won't drop them against Israel. Now, this is what we call a split situation. There is fear, but they still want to maintain their pride so that they don't face embarrassment among their people. They are trying to find a middle ground, making two claims, and trying to exit without losing their reputation. They are scared, they are in a tough spot, but they also can't back down either. This is their situation right now. Now the question is, what has changed? Why this sudden change of heart? It is because of the return of Donald Trump as the 47th President of the United States. Now Trump is going to officially enter the White House on 20th Jan 2025. Before that, he is giving a free hand to Israel and Netanyahu. Do whatever you need and make these radical Islamic organizations to rethink their strategies. That is why you must have seen Israel destroyed one of Iran's nuclear weapons sites. I'll make a detailed video on that. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has told Prime Minister Netanyahu to do whatever it is needed to stop Iran's nuclear ambition. This is called free hand. The fear of facing harsh consequences under Trump has made them shift from talking about war to asking for peace talks instead. Now let's understand Iran's calculations. Let's analyze Iran's situation. As you know, Iran is actually the backbone of Hamas and Hezbollah. So instead of analyzing the child, let's analyze their parent stone, that is Iran. Even Iran's tone has subtly changed. Iran is very scared of Donald Trump, that it's starting or pretending to play nice. Elon Musk met with Iran's UN ambassador on Monday for a meeting on how to defuse tension between the two countries. Think about it. Iran, a country that always criticized America and openly threatened it, is now having a private meeting with Elon Musk for talks on normalizing relations between the two countries. If that is not enough, Iran again invited the head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog to visit their nuclear facilities. This happened twice this year. First time in May 2024 and now on November 13th, a week after Trump's presidential win. Iran, which once firmly rejected allowing any inspections of its nuclear facilities, is now extending an invitation with a warm gesture, even inviting the IAEA chief twice in 1 year. This change in approach is nothing but fear of Trump's unpredictable nature. But then as a result, the United States ultimately directed Israel to carry out an attack and destroy Iran's nuclear facility. Now Trump has selected Michael Waltz to be his national security advisor and will likely select Senator Marco Rubio to be his secretary of state. These two lawmakers are hardcore supporters of Trump's America First policy. They are very hawkish when it comes to dealing with adversaries like China, Iran and Russia. Michael Waltz was a colonel in the National Guard, a former Green Beret, and now he is the NSA in Trump administration. These two lawmakers have questioned and voted against US aid packages for Ukraine, So you can imagine why Iran and Ukraine is fearing Trump. So it is all about what kind of people are there in the position of power. For example, Zelensky used to get along well with Biden and his Democrat lawmakers. But then he doesn't know how to handle Trump and his advisors. Similarly, even Iran knows that the first time when Trump was in office in 2016, they made a mistake of rejecting him for a variety of reasons. But this time, the Israelis, the neocons, will convince Trump that the only way to get a deal with Iranians is that you have to sanction them to death. You have to understand that before Trump's arrival as the new president, Israel has already done all the groundwork for making United States foreign policy work well in the Middle East. From October 7, 2023 till today, Israel has pretty much assassinated all the top military and political ranks of IRGC, Hezbollah and Hamas, including Iran's former president Ibrahim Raisi. And by the way, do you know Qasem Soleimani, the influential Iranian general? He was killed during Donald Trump's presidency on January 3, 2020. And now Iran has sent a written note through Swiss diplomats saying that they will not assassinate Trump. So keeping all this in mind, Iran has no other option but to be on defensive side. Israel has done all the groundwork by eliminating key military and political leaders in groups like Hamas, Hezbollah and the IRGC, and that has weakened Iran's proxy network. And Trump, as soon as he assumes office, will do the necessary paperwork like economic sanction, military pressure for destroying the Iranian economy. Plus Khamenei, the supreme head, is also ill. His health is deteriorating. This puts additional pressure on the regime. Iran's long-exiled crown prince, Reza Pahlavi, is also full-on Trump supporter. If regime change is there in United States' mind, then restoring Reza Pahlavi will be the US option. As it is, there is an internal instability going on in Iran. So Iran has no other option but to prioritize defending itself rather than supporting its proxies if at all Trump directs Israel to escalate the situation. This is where Iran is right now vulnerable, and hence leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah are also talking peace, because they know if Iran, that is their father, is forced to defend itself, then there will be no one left to back them. Now let's talk about Ukraine and NATO. On another front, Ukrainian President Zelensky, who once stood firm in his conviction to fight Russia, he also once said Ukraine would fight until the end, rejecting any compromise with Russia. He is now taking a more softer approach. He has adjusted his tone. Zelensky is also talking about peace. He calls it negotiated peace. Fancy term. He is also saying Russia-Ukraine war will end soon. Zelensky had a phone call with Trump after his victory. During the call, Trump didn't say much about the ongoing war in Ukraine. Instead, his tone suggested he would talk more when he had a clear plan for Zelensky to follow. Because Trump doesn't take Zelensky seriously. He even called Zelensky the greatest salesman in history, which shows his lack of respect for him as a serious leader. But then he's also Ukraine's president. That is why Trump didn't engage much. He probably has a set plan or expectations for Zelensky to follow when the time comes. But one thing is sure, that this time Zelensky is not going to get any more money from the United States. Now what will happen is, a bunch of Ukrainian officials along with Zelensky will try to convince Trump that Russian victory will hurt Ukraine. Although they will not be able to convince Trump and his lawmakers, but Ukraine will try. Trying doesn't hurt after all. With respect to Ukraine, you have to understand that their proposal for peace will likely include negotiating the return of territories occupied by Russia. That is what negotiated peace for Ukraine is. That means Ukraine will ask Trump to tell Putin to return Ukrainian territory. But ceasefire doesn't mean returning of territory. It is more about putting an immediate stop to any more escalation and bloodshed. Because Trump's goal is America first. That means ending the war not for Ukraine's term of peace, but to stop draining of US money in the form of military aid. Now, does it mean letting Ukraine hang in the middle of the war? No, it means telling, or rather pressurizing, Zelensky to accept to certain terms for peace, allowing him to move forward with the situation as it is and focus on rebuilding instead of insisting on seeking full restoration of all lost territories. This doesn't mean abandoning Ukraine, but rather pushing them to come to terms with the reality of the situation and secure peace on the best terms that they can get at that time. Now finally, let's talk about NATO. NATO's financial contributions remain a contentious issue. Trump has repeatedly criticized the alliance by questioning why the United States bear the bulk of the financial burden, which is around 16%. His opinion has put additional pressure on European nations to step up their contribution of up to 2% of the country's GDP. Now, that is currently impossible for many European allies as they are struggling with their own economic issues. So this problem has been a recurring topic in United States foreign policy, and this issue will become prominent under Trump's presidency. While Trump may not completely withdraw the US from NATO, he is likely to pressure European nations to increase their defense spending. Currently, many European countries have sent a significant portion of their defense equipment to Ukraine. This means that before they can focus on boosting their defense budget, the Ukraine issue needs to be resolved first. So whether it is Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Ukraine or NATO, Trump's return to power has sent ripples across the geopolitical landscape. His unique blend of chaos and strategy has turned even staunch opponents into reluctant negotiators. While his methods remain controversial, their impact is undeniable. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.